From Pittsburgh to Carlisle, York to Waynesburg, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, the Commonwealth Foundation has recently conducted a poll to find out what Pennsylvania voters think about Governor Josh Shapiro's budget proposals and spending plans. David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association is joined by Rebecca Euler and Stephen Bloom for a Capital Watch analysis. And in an interesting juxtaposition, Governor Josh Shapiro has lurched to the left, and U.S. Senator John Fetterman has proclaimed himself to be unwoke. I'll have a town hall commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to our Capital Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. An analysis of voter registration trends by the website Notice finds that over the last 5 months, the number of registered Republicans has increased in every one of Pennsylvania's 67 counties, and the number of Democrats has declined in all but a handful of counties. The site reports that altogether, there are over 40,000 more registered Republicans and 10,000 fewer Democrats than there were last November. End of March statistics show the Democrat voter registration lead in what will be a key battleground state in this year's presidential election has fallen to under 400,000. At one time, the Democrats enjoyed a 1.2 million voter advantage. The Wall Street Journal reports that the Pittsburgh region is, quote, at the center of a class inversion between the two parties that is redefining politics. The article points out that Democrats have traded their former blue-collar base for a professional class, while Republicans have become more dependent on working-class voters and voters in small towns and rural areas. The war on fossil fuels being waged by radical environmentalists is also hurting Democrats, with even Governor Josh Shapiro warning the Biden administration's block on liquefied natural gas projects could hurt him in the upcoming presidential election. The 2024 Pennsylvania Leadership Conference was held last weekend in Camp Hill and featured rousing speeches by former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy and acclaimed filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza. The event is the largest gathering of public policy conservatives each year here in Pennsylvania and featured a day of workshops followed by panel presentation and speeches, including those by U.S. Senate candidate Dave McCormick, State Treasurer Stacey Garrity, and a forum featuring York County District Attorney Dave Sunday and State Representative Craig Williams, who are vying for the Republican nomination for Attorney General in the May 23rd primary. You can view video of each of the conference presentations at paleadershipconference.org. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. The Commonwealth Foundation recently conducted its Common Ground in the Commonwealth poll and learned what voters think about Governor Josh Shapiro's plan to inflate government spending and bail out mass transit systems in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Our Capital Watch crew is here with details. David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association is joined by Stephen Bloom of the Commonwealth Foundation and Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association. David?
And welcome once again to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, your Capital Watch All-Stars from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association, President and CEO Rebecca Euler. Rebecca, thanks for being on the program.
So good to be here again, David. Thank you.
And my main man, Steve Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation. Steve, great to see you.
Great to see you, David. Happy to be here.
And you know, our good friends at Commonwealth Foundation, Pennsylvania's foremost free market think tank, you guys do an awful lot of the heavy lifting on public policy around here. And I especially appreciate that you guys do a lot of survey work to try to understand where the public mood is on a lot of these hot issues of the day, and also on background, sort of the you know, underlying principles of how would you like to see things go. And CF just delivered up another heaping helping of survey results. What do you got?
Yes. Yeah. And part of what we do is we want to understand where people are. So we do surveys. We do this polling research, not to get the answers we want to hear, but to find out what Pennsylvania taxpayers in particular are really thinking. And so we're reaching out to Pennsylvania voters. And this is the latest in our Common Ground survey. We do this about every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a track record we can kind of compare and see which way trends are going. And,
yes.
Ask some of the same questions each time just to see that sort of thing. And here we are with – I'll give you some of the headline results of this brand new Common Ground poll that Commonwealth Foundation has just released. And I think one of the most interesting things about it is when you think about what are the top issues for voters.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear the things that you hear on television and maybe, you know, down at the corner store or whatever. What are people talking about? But when you actually dig in and see what Pennsylvania voters are most concerned about, the number one item on that list for Pennsylvanians is inflation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that most Pennsylvanians are most worried about.
Yes.
Compared to all the other issues we hear about out there. Even as we're recording the show, the inflation rate is starting to jump again.
Yeah.
And it's getting close to 5%.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
That's interesting. And think about, you know, some of the dynamics that may cause. Inflation, number one issue. Inflation picking up again as we head into election season. Ramifications for sure.
And I just need to spout off for a second. Not that I've ever done that before. But I saw that in that inflation data that one of the categories that was up markedly was veterinary care. It was up 10%. And, you know, again, getting back to Senator Casey and his foolishness about how this is all driven by greed, is your local veterinarian charging higher prices just to line his or her pockets? Or is the vet raising prices to try to keep up with higher costs? You know, I just, anyway, back to the stats.
And on the veterinarians, I mean, they are in that because they love it.
Of course.
It's a hard business, and there's a shortage of large animal vets all across the state and across the country. So it isn't as if they're, like you said, they're not printing money.
Yes.
As vets. They're struggling. But in any event, on the survey, the poll also found that Pennsylvania taxpayers are weary of state budget spending increases and policy proposals that would lead to budget deficits or tax increases.
Yep.
That's the personality of Pennsylvania. We've seen that consistently.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, in Harrisburg, as you well know, both of our panelists well know, in Harrisburg, there's a lot of distortion and smoke and mirrors and so forth. It almost sometimes sounds like the programs that some of the elected officials want to provide are going to be free.
Yeah.
But in fact, they typically carry a cost, and that means budget spending increases, which ultimately lead to budget deficits and increased taxes.
And if you guys will excuse me again, just to say that what I think is the most important fact of Pennsylvania budgeting is we have a structural deficit, which means that mandatory spending is increasing faster and by a greater amount than the natural growth of tax revenue from the economy. So, yeah, we have some reserves today, but when you have plans like, you know, Governor Wolf had and Governor Shapiro has to accelerate spending, then all we're doing is bringing forward that moment in time when the bottom's going to drop out. Like, why would you want that to come faster? We need to hold the line to try to bend the curve, as it were. I'm mixing my metaphors, forgive me. But we need to keep spending under control in the hope that we can address these underlying fundamentals that are driving the structural deficit so that we can get to a place where Pennsylvania is in a virtuous cycle, that the natural growth of the economy is throwing off enough revenue to actually pay for the services that we're required to provide.
And Pennsylvania voters are onto this whole deception that we often see in Harrisburg when it comes to whether or not we can afford to continue growing government as it's been growing for these last several decades. More than two-thirds of the voters that we polled noted that inflation and recent price increases have impacted their household's ability to maintain their standard of living.
Mm.
Again, that's serious. When we talk about inflation being the number one issue, people are scared. They're afraid they're going to lose their house,
mm-hmm.
their ability to afford their lifestyle. So with elections looming again here this year, these things are becoming increasingly relevant and very relevant, not only in Pennsylvania, but to the fate of the whole country.
Well, when we're talking about the state budget, back to the point you made a moment ago, it's really overwhelming too, which is amazing to me because this is a bipartisan poll. It represents Democrats and Republicans and independents pretty solidly across the board. And 88% believed that state officials should cut excessive government spending. I mean, that is a vast majority
Yes.
of Pennsylvania residents here who believe that. And we're talking in both parties too. Mm-hmm. It's not a partisan issue. I think that's important to point out.
Yeah, and you don't see numbers that large in polling data typically.
Right.
Especially, you know, it's a representative sample of Pennsylvania voters. So as you note, it includes Republicans, Democrats, and independents. 61% of respondents believe that a 7.1% state budget increase is too high. And again, 88% state that state officials should focus on cutting excessive government spending. So you see the dichotomy there. And it's illuminating. And it's important information because, again, the voters of Pennsylvania, the registered voters who are going to affect the outcome of these elections, they're on to this game of overspending and deficit spending that ultimately leads to more taxes. They see it.
Yeah.
They're not going to be blindsided.
And it also – I mean, it to me, it presents an incredible political opportunity for office holders and candidates who can – deliver that message to people, the thing that they're obviously aching for, which is, you know, Harrisburg busybodyism is not helping PA. The fact that their politicians are spending money faster than people can earn it is damaging to the economy and damaging to the household finances of people across the Commonwealth. It's like somebody should jump on that horse and ride it.
And today, our team was up at the Capitol quite a bit today, and there were talking to lawmakers, and there were events going on. And one of the things that lawmakers were talking about was this idea of, and it's part of the governor's idea that he's been rolling out since his budget address, to do a 1% payroll tax on every single worker to fund a government-run family leave program in Pennsylvania. Now, that sounds nice until mm-hmm. voters realize it's going to cost them money. And when you actually enlighten them on to what that's going to cost,
mm-hmm.
they change their tune, and most of them are suddenly against programs like that. We see the same thing with the proposed $300 million sales tax subsidy that the governor's proposing be collected from the revenues from the sales tax in Pennsylvania,
okay.
which is supposed to be used for education,
right.
and redirecting it into the mass transit systems in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. That's the kind of thing that the governor's talking about. But once people realize what it is, they become against it. 56% oppose. Once they understand what's happening, you're taking dollars from education to fund corrupt mass transit systems.
Well, and this is a perfect example of why we need citizen engagement and why citizens need to, you know where to turn to find high quality information about what's going on in their state government. So, I mean, every day I'm grateful for what you guys do at Commonwealth Foundation. You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, Steve Bloom from Commonwealth Foundation and Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association.
Well, one thing I found interesting about the poll was the questions about, whether these voters actually supported the governor, supported our state lawmakers, supported, you know, our elected officials and how they felt about them. And I saw in here that Governor Shapiro has a good bit of support. I think 60% approval rating, I believe. Yeah, 60% approval rating for Governor Shapiro, 31% disapprove. But digging into it a little bit more, they had asked whether he had delivered on major accomplishments during his first year in office. So 47% believed he had. But when you ask what Governor Shapiro's greatest accomplishment was, it's an interesting list because I don't know about you guys, but I really only see one accomplishment on this list, and that's the repair of I-95. So 9% of respondents noted that, but the rest of them are, you know, his stance on the economy, his stance on education, supporting women's rights, doing a good job for the people, stance on taxes. They're not accomplishments per se.
It's
so
posturing.
They're, right. So I just found that was interesting, and I just kind kind of wonder what that means for the governor and where he's headed with some of his policy
branding
proposals.
And marketing. In the governor's budget proposal, he put forward a plan on workforce development, and it was a new expenditure of, I believe it was $2 million for some sort of, you know, coordinating entity on workforce. Well, we spend 1,000 times that much on workforce. So what he's putting forward really is going to have no impact whatsoever, but it's an amazing talking point. And the more that he talks about it, the more people are led to believe that he's actually done something useful.
When our pollsters asked what people think Pennsylvania spends per student on public education.
Yes.
People answer that they believe that Pennsylvania spends about $4,000 per student per year.
Okay, Steve, what's the actual number?
The actual number is $22,000 per year.
Uh-huh.
So they're off by a factor
just a
of
a little bit.
Yeah, five.
Five.
Mm-hmm.
And so at first, many of the folks we talked to would say, oh, yeah, there should be more spent in education. We say, how much do you think they really spend? They're saying, oh, about $4,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Once they find out that it's actually $22,000 per year, the folks who were thinking maybe they needed to pay teachers more, well, they changed their tune pretty quick, and they say, and 45% of them say that $22,000 per student is actually too high.
Mm-hmm.
And only 18% believe that the actual amount, the $22,000, is too low. So a little bit of education helps folks understand the financing of education in Pennsylvania.
Right. A little bit of policy education helps them understand
public education.
And they realize,
oh, wait a minute. These kids are not underfunded. These schools are not underfunded. It's a different problem. It's a problem of a failure within the educational system, not the funding.
Yes,
the
how well there. And how effectively are those dollars being spent?
61% oppose paying additional taxes to provide a $6 billion increase in public school funding, when they know that that increase would cost roughly $2,000 more in taxes each year for a family of four.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone thinks, oh, yeah, we should spend more on education, even if it's billions, until they find out it might hit their family with $2,000 in new taxes.
Yes.
And that's what the governor's actually talked about, is a $6 billion increase. So there's, again, the voters are on to what these politicians are doing in Harrisburg, and they're going to spot that, and they're going to realize, wait a minute, it's going to impact my family. $2,000, I can't afford that.
Right.
We can't go to that extreme. We need to streamline the system and make it serve students instead of these broken down systems.
And a little bit of background, Steve. You said that the Common Ground poll has been conducted over time. What's the history of the survey?
Oh, it's only about 2 years
okay.
so far. So we
All
don't
right.
have a lot of that longitudinal data that we will ultimately have as we get
right.
farther along. But
that's the purpose of the effort over time.
We started the process.
Yes,
exactly.
Got
so
it.
We're doing this quarterly. We will from now on. And we have been for about a year and a half. So the trends are, you know, you can see most of the trends aren't really well established yet. But
right.
it's going to teach us more and more as time goes by.
Yeah.
There were similar majorities that supported a lot of business-friendly policies that we talk about often here, like cutting business taxes, speeding up the process for getting regulations and getting permits
mm-hmm.
Through the process, and then even sunset provision for regulations as well, which all of which are, you know, are sort of pro-business, but again, experienced large majorities of support. So I'm not sure that folks realize that those sort of pro-business, that are sort of branded pro-business policies, it's like you said, Steve, voters are on to them. They know that that is going to grow the economy and create jobs and really, you know, just increase the economic prosperity of everybody in the Commonwealth if we were to grow the business climate.
When you have positions with that high of public approval, just go over and stand next to it. Put your arm around it. That's a great way to win support and win elections. These are winning issues if people would choose to embrace them.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right about that. But I think the key is, like Steve was saying, you have to personalize it for them. You have to make them understand how this affects their pocketbook or affects their, the small business that they visit every day on their way home. How is it really translating into their lives? And I think that's the key that sort of came out in this poll.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is incumbent on candidates and office holders to explain things
yeah.
and to know the issues, to know these things in detail, and to be able to communicate that effectively, to the individual voters that they encounter along the way.
And we talked about, again, that that most important issue that Pennsylvanians are identifying that they're concerned about is inflation. I did want to just take you down through a couple of the other categories that, are near the top. Inflation dominates. The next one is crime and rising violence. The next one after that is the Pennsylvania economy generally. And the next one after that is taxes. So you can tell that the fiscal issues really matter.
Well, and you know, many, and again, I've said this over and over, you know, many Pennsylvanians really are living paycheck to paycheck. And when you have these inflationary pressures, you know, rising prices, especially fuel prices, it's making it harder for people to make it to the end of the month. And you know, that's causing real hardship and real sacrifices as folks sit around the kitchen table trying to figure out how they're going to pay for stuff.
Yeah. And sadly, one of the questions in the survey asked if you or someone you know was thought of leaving Pennsylvania for a different state. 42% said that either they or someone they knew were thinking of leaving. And 22% say they themselves have thought of leaving. And so almost one in four Pennsylvanians have thought of leaving the state. So the next question was, why? And the top three issues had absolutely to do with the economy and economic environment. Lower cost of living, lower taxes, and better jobs and opportunities.
And dovetails.
And those things, those problems can only be addressed in Harrisburg. Those are state public policy issues, and that's why we need leaders who will actually move the needle on making Pennsylvania more competitive. Well, unfortunately, we're down to the end of our time, but you know, thank you so much for being part of this conversation. Steve, thank you for bringing this information to us. Where can the listeners go to look through those results on their own?
They can go to CommonwealthFoundation.org, and all the cross tabs and all that information is also available to them.
Outstanding. Great resource. Rebecca, where can people find you online?
They can find the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association at pmta.org.
Excellent. And as always, you can find me online at pamanufacturers.org. And for Steve and Rebecca and myself, thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
Thank you, David. An interesting juxtaposition is taking place relative to two of Pennsylvania's most high-profile elected officials, Governor Josh Shapiro and U.S. Senator John Fetterman. Fetterman was elected in 2022 as a darling of his party's left wing, while Shapiro campaigned as a pragmatist and proudly boasts about getting stuff done. Conventional wisdom, which typically proves to be unwise, held that once in the U.S. Senate, John Fetterman would be so far to the left, he would make Bernie Sanders look like Ted Cruz. Fetterman, however, appears to be as comfortable charting his own course as he is wearing hoodies and gym shorts. The far left wing of the Democrat Party, which is to say almost all of it, is going bat crap crazy over Israel's war against the Hamas terrorists who executed a brutal slaughter of its citizens last October. President Biden has attempted to straddle the fence on the issue, but Fetterman has been an unabashed defender of Israel and a proponent of its right to self-defense. Illegal immigration has surged to the top of voter concerns as fentanyl deaths skyrocket, crimes committed by illegals grab headlines, and the cost to taxpayers mount. Biden administration policies are responsible for the debacle, but the president shows no signs of doing anything other than attempting to blame Republicans for the problem. Fetterman has spoken out in favor of more stringent border controls, taking a pragmatic approach to the issue. Most recently, Fetterman has strayed from party dogma on so-called squatters' rights. In the wake of the flood of people coming over the southern border, more and more illegal immigrants are simply occupying the homes and apartments owned by U.S. citizens. The left thinks that squatters have rights, which is absurd on its face. Fetterman appeared so annoyed by criticism of his support of the rights of actual property owners, he declared himself to not be woke. To be sure, Fetterman is unlikely to be seen dining with the House Freedom Caucus at any point in the near future, but he thus far has not been a doctrinaire progressive. How that will play out politically remains to be seen. Meanwhile, Governor Josh Shapiro, the self-proclaimed pragmatist, has taken a lurch to the left, the far left, in an apparent bid to position himself as an attractive national candidate and appeal to his party's California-style donors. How that will play out politically among the more centrist voters of Penns Woods also remains to be seen. Fealty to a radical environmental agenda to fight what the left believes to be man-made climate change is mandatory for those who aspire to national political office on the Democrat ticket. In a bow to the extremists, Shapiro uncorked a radical cap and tax energy plan that, if enacted, would dramatically increase energy prices, chase manufacturing from the state, and imperil the dependability of our energy grid. Pennsylvania is one of the nation's largest generators of electric power. We also sit atop one of the richest natural gas deposits in the world. Yet, Shapiro's energy plan would require dependence on alternate fuels, two categories of which have yet to be invented. The plan is completely unworkable, yet serves as catnip to his party's radical Greens. Shapiro has also tacked left on illegal immigration. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has been deploying his National Guard to defend the border. A number of other states have activated National Guard units and sent them to Texas. Republicans in the Pennsylvania State Senate approved a resolution calling on Shapiro to join the effort by sending Pennsylvania National Guard troops to assist Texas. With polls showing illegal immigration has surged to the top of national concerns, Shapiro instead bowed to the radical left and nixed the plan. Most recently, Shapiro made it impossible for hundreds of thousands of Pennsylvania trades workers to participate in state construction projects unless they are members of a labor union. He issued an executive order requiring project labor agreements, PLAs, for all state-funded construction projects. According to the Commonwealth Foundation, more than 80% of Pennsylvania's construction workers work in non-union or merit shops. The governor's order effectively discriminates against those workers, but represents a substantial payback to the labor unions whose financial contributions powered his past and likely future election campaigns. What to make of all of this? Fetterman is moving to the center, where most statewide politicians find electoral success. Shapiro is moving to the left, where most national Democrat politicians find success. Of course, Shapiro must stand for re-election as governor in 2026 before moving on to the national stage. The question is, has he put the cart before the horse? With a Town Hall commentary, I'm Loman Henry. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 29 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WKVE-FM in Mount Pleasant, WKFB-AM in Gannett, along with WKHB-FM in Irwin, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania. Thank you.